Good evening, everyone. Let's rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. This is the June 4th, 2018 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butcher?
Absent.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Mr. Kilda?
Absent.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Here.
Mr. Morgini?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Absent.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Here.
Mr. Scheif?
Absent.
And Mr. Sumay?
Here. Thank you. You are on your game. We have minutes to approve. We have two sets. The first set is the minutes of February 21st, 2018. They were previously distributed by email.
I'll make a motion.
Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mardini. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Is there a roll call?
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
And that's it.
Thank you. The second set of meetings are the May 8th, 2018. Again, they were previously distributed. If there are any questions or comments or suggestions, now would be the time to voice those. If not,
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Pfeffer. Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Roll call.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
And Mr. Sumay?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, we are up to the resolutions. The first resolution is Clinton Agricultural Associates, LLC, Block 7, Lot 3, Resolution 2018-06, a dismissal without prejudice for the application for the amended preliminary and final site plan approval. This was discussed and Mr. Drill sent out. Any questions, concerns?
It is the first draft dated May 30th.
Mm-hmm. Pretty straightforward, so.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Pfeffer. Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Roll call.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Mr. Mardini can't vote.
Can't vote.
Not eligible.
Sorry, I missed that. Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Just if anybody's curious, I saw a very large water tank on a lowboy in front of that site earlier this week.
Good.
Quick question.
Higgins, is Mr. Higgins eligible for that?
Not eligible to vote on this.
I was just looking at
that. You know what? I have the not eligible in the wrong place. Mr. Higgins?
I'll say yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
It was getting lonely there with only a few of us. Public hearings. The first one, Easy Energy. I'm struggling. LLC, Block 70, Lot 13, ground-mounted solar panels at the Hunterdon Wellness Center, application 2017-08.
Good evening, Chairman and Planning Board members. And, Chairman, I apologize to you. I don't know where why I didn't list you as the chairman.
I smiled. I thought I had I was off the hook for tonight.
But I do apologize. This might be one of the easiest applications, hopefully, that you face in a while. The board had granted approval for a net metering solar array on the Hunterton Health and Wellness Center. And at the time of the public hearing and then the board's approval, a tree survey had not been done. So there was a general idea, but no specifics about the numbers of trees and the size of the trees that were within the area of the proposed solar array. And as a result of that tree survey being completed, we were surprised. The effect of that tree survey is to change the requirements for tree replacement. As I indicated in my letter, about 183 trees exceeding 6-inch DBH were found in that area. The area meets the definition of a forested area in your ordinance. That is, it is at least an eighth of an acre in size, minimum of 100 trees per acre. 50% of those trees are 2-inch DBH or greater. So the way your tree replacement provision works is you have one requirement for tree replacement for, I'll say, random trees that are just located through an area but not in a dense enough area to be considered a forest, and you have another tree replacement requirement for trees that are in a forested area. So the solar array area had originally been subject to the first requirement, that is, just the random location of trees. But Mr. Hoffman's survey shows that it should have been subject to the forested area requirement. And I believe you have a review memo from Mr. Bosenberg that confirms that interpretation. Now, I have Mr. Hoffman here to go through the analysis that he did. There isn't really much more to it than what I'm describing to you, other than the fact that the tree replacement requirements are different for a forested area than they are for the random trees located within a site. And there already is a tree replacement requirement for the part of the site that was originally thought of as forested, located generally towards the back along the stream corridor. And Mr. Bosenberg and
Dr. Keller
have said in their letter that it would be appropriate to increase the size of the replacement area for the forested trees, the old field restoration, to increase that area, make it subject to all the requirements that they imposed for dealing with the old field habitat replacement. And, you know, their letter is pretty specific. They would propose increasing the habitat restoration area from 1 acre to 1.25 acres. And the tree replacement ratio that would apply is, I believe it's one tree per
0.5.
Yeah, 0.5.
So for every acre, you're required to replace 0.5 acres of our site.
So,
at this point, he needs to be.
Well, put it this way. What's before you tonight is to revise a condition. It's to revise condition 1B2. It's not for an amended approval. It's to revise the condition. It's not to correct the resolution. It's to revise the resolution. So unless the applicant is dying to have a witness sworn and all that, if the board understands what the revision is, and what I did was to try to simplify things, hopefully you all got the email I sent out earlier today. I went through with the changes that Ms. Hirsch was suggesting to the conditions and which were acceptable to Mr. Bosenberg and Dr. Keller. In fact, Mr. Bosenberg confirmed their agreement in a memo dated May 30th. I then took the resolution I drafted, sent it to Mr. Bosenberg and Dr. Keller, and they both said, yeah, I got it right. I sent it to Ms. Hirsch. She said, yeah, I got it right. So if anyone doesn't, if no one has any questions, unless the applicant wants to make some sort of record, in my opinion, you could just make a motion to revise condition 1B as set forth in the draft dated June 4, version 1, and you'll see what I did at the end of the resolution to make it clear what has happened. The voters stay the same. That was Higgins, Kildoff, Kleinhans, Mardini, McTiernan, Pfeffer, and Scheich. Those board members who adopted resolution number 2014-04, which was the initial memorializing resolution, they adopted that on March 19, 2018, and that vote stays. What I did was I added a paragraph at the end that says the within revised resolution, and then in parentheses, resolution number 2018-04R, standing for revised, memorializes the board action in revising conditions number 1B2 through 1B6 to modify the text of the conditions and renumber the conditions as numbers 1B2 through 1B5, and the within resolution, again, parentheses, resolution number 2018-04R, in paren, was adopted on June 4, 2018 by the following vote of eligible board members. So this would be limited to the same board members who voted on the underlying application, which would be Higgins, who's here tonight, Kildoff, he's absent, Kleinhans, who's here, Mardini, who's here, McTiernan's absent, Pfeffer is here, and Scheich is absent. So the people that are here, everyone except for Chairman Semay, could vote to adopt this resolution. If you're satisfied right now and you have no further questions and you don't want anything put into the record, and if the applicant doesn't want to put anything to the record, are you okay with
it? We're satisfied with that approach. Thank
you. Any questions from the board?
No question. I'll make that.
Make a motion
to
adopt.
This is a public hearing still, right? We have to open for public comment, not the.
It's actually, I mean, yeah. Okay. Is anyone from the public that wants to comment on the revision of this condition can comment, but it's actually, it's not a noticed public hearing. It's a public hearing open to the public. Anyone here on this application? A lot of people shaking their heads.
No, that is.
Okay. Yeah, correct.
So, I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinman?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Not here.
I'm sorry, and Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope my next application goes so
good. Yeah, they do too.
Yeah. Thank you.
You don't have to say it well. Good to see you.
All right. The next public hearing, ExxonMobil Research and Engineering Company, 1545 U.S. Highway 22 East. Block 30, lot 17, 30, 31, 41. Block 31, lot 1. Block 3002, lot 1. Applicant is seeking a waiver of site plan approval for a proposed new gate configuration, including installation of an island and pave.
Correct. Good evening. For the record, Tom Malman, Dave Pitney here on behalf of Exxon. And this is a site plan waiver application to reconfigure the gate on Route 22. Relatively minor changes, but very important changes, will make the gate more efficient. The board may be aware you're empowered to grant site plan waiver. There are a number of reasons you can do that, but the one that we think fits the application tonight, and I'll read from your ordinance, it says...
Yeah, can it go slower?
If we have secured previous site plan approval and the proposed development would have an insignificant impact on the previously approved plans. We think that we'll fall within that category. We have one witness tonight.
And by the way, is that... One, two, or three?
That is one. Mr. Kennedy's our witness. Oh, John, do you want to swear for?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can you raise your right hand?
I do.
Your full name?
Certainly, Ronald Kennedy, K-E-N-N-E-D-Y, 265 Main Street in Goliathstown.
And let's also have Tom sworn in. And just for the record, you're the board's planning expert?
That's correct.
And Mr. Kennedy, you're the applicant's engineering expert?
Engineering expert, correct.
Mr. Kennedy has previously testified before this board, recall, in the prior Exxon site plan application. Would you care to hear his credentials, or are we okay?
I think he's testified here. That's fine.
Okay. So I want you to start by identifying the part of the property in question. We'll talk about the proposed improvements.
Certainly, just as a point of reference, I'll call it A1 exhibit. It's called site aerial exhibit.
Yeah, let's get it marked as A1.
Sure. Today's date.
You know what? Bring all your exhibits over. Let's take care of it right now.
So, A1 is an aerial photograph.
That's correct.
You can't.
She's gonna put the tags on. After she gets the tags on, then you're gonna put it into the record. She'll write it down. Okay. A1 is the site aerial exhibit?
That's correct.
A2 is the photo exhibit?
Correct.
And A3 is the site demolition and grading plan?
Site dimension.
Dimension.
And that's the same plan on file with the board, Mr. Kennedy?
It is.
Okay. All right, so let's go back to A1 and just tell us where on the site we're dealing with tonight.
Certainly. Just as a point of reference, this is the aerial exhibit that we used in the last application of the Exxon property. And just for reference, the top part of the sheet is Route 22 and 78. The left-hand side of the sheet is Route 31, and the right-hand side is Sand Hill Road. Just to the point of reference, the center of the property is where the buildings are located. And the part of this site plan waiver application is the guardhouse off of Route 22. That's all we're talking about, the guardhouse off of Route 22. And just as that reference, it sits about 600 foot off of Route 22. It's the one that prominently featured that you said coming by Route 22. If I go to Exhibit A2, and that's two photos that are taken approximately 100 to 200 foot back from the actual guardhouse itself. The features here are the guardhouse and the two inbound lanes that exist. And then the part of our application is just some modifications right at the guardhouse for those inbound lanes. And I'll go through some of
those. So, Ron, the top photo is taken from 22 looking in, or?
I can't even hear him.
Yeah.
Do we need a microphone for him?
The handheld mic is not working.
Can you take the table mic and hold it in your hand?
The top photograph, how is that taken, Mr. Kennedy? Which direction?
The top photograph is standing towards Route 22 and looking into the site.
Into the site.
And you can see in the building in the background. The bottom photograph is in the same direction. It's just slightly more in the center of the building itself. So, and I'll describe the improvements here. It truly is just to modernize the entry feature as you get into that gatehouse. The lanes that you see here, the building, are all part of the original application back in 84 when the campus was built. There's been no real changes to that. Currently, you'll see on this exhibit, A2, there's a bar coming across here with a post on it, and that's generally closed all the time. The only time that's an exception, maybe during a snowstorm, will open that up. But for rush hour, for nighttime, that's closed, and there's an arm that comes down in front of the gatehouse, in front of there, and that's how you get into the site. So that's visitors, that's employees come into that site that way. And for the most part, this gate is closed on the right-hand lane, and only the main left-hand lane is the only one that processes everything. And they use their own badges that they get into the place, or if anyone's been a visitor there, you have to go through a process to be a visitor onto that campus. The goal now is technology improvements have changed, and the objective now is to make activate actually both lanes and have gate arms on both and actually use an EasyPass system, that your EasyPass, if you're an employee, you can come in there, you're registered, and your EasyPass will open it. If you don't have an EasyPass, you'll have other RFID, the radio frequency IDs, that you would have that would be able to open that as well. So truly, it is two lanes. In order to do that and to have a gate arm at each lane independently feeding off the correct side, which is left as you're driving in where the gate arm is, we have to put a small island in the center, a concrete island that you'd see driving down the parkway or the turnpike, and that would be 2.5 feet wide, and it would have a gate arm that would open. You'd go up there, there would be the proximity reader, and it would open. If you are a visitor, you would still come to this gatehouse and have to be processed similar to the way you are now. And that really is the improvement. In order to make adequate width lanes, the island in the center, we're actually widening up the pavement on the right-hand side where you see these bollards. It's a total of 5.5 feet. That's the maximum width.
Why don't you go to A3?
I can go to A3, which is the plan that was submitted. You can see, again, I'm going to turn this upside down because we were looking at it the other way.
So 22 is at the bottom.
22 is the bottom. I'm driving in this way. This is the only widening we're talking about. So it's 5.5 feet wide. It'll have a little taper to get into that lane and back into the travel way. And then there would be a center island approximately, I think it's 40 foot long, just to handle the control of traffic through there, each traffic lane through there. And by doing this, it just makes it more convenient for certainly the employees and be able to process the visitors more convenient. If someone's being processed as a visitor right now, it backs up the rest of the people behind there. That becomes uncomfortable for the employees. They want to get in. This will allow quicker processing of that. No tree removal, no drainage changes to the patterns, no lighting changes. There's plenty of lighting out there up and down the center of the island. There's really no impacts. It's a small grass area off the side that would be paved in a minimum distance. The square footage of total pavement is quite de minimis. It's a total of 541 square feet. So, I mean, it's a quarter of the size of this room that we're talking about as far as the pavement that's in here. No sign changes. The sign that's in the center of the entry feature now would stay the same, and it would just be an ability to process them smoother.
And so would you conclude, Mr. Kennedy, that this, if it's approved, would be an insignificant impact on the previously approved site plan?
Correct. It's insignificant. It's just processing and more convenient and certainly faster into the site.
That's all we have. Any questions?
Exiting right now is facilitated by just driving up and it opens?
It does.
Okay, so that's staying the same then?
Yeah. And in this, as the previous application we talked about, the 31 entrance is still there.
Sure.
That doesn't process visitors. That only processes employees. But that's a single lane in and out. But that'll still stay the same with no changes proposed.
Are you, you're, not that it impacts us, but are you upgrading the technology at that entrance as well?
Yes, sir. But we don't need an additional lane.
Right.
One's
yeah,
plenty.
Sure.
It's just employees.
So it's basically 500 square feet of extra pavement. On a 700 acre or whatever.
Yes.
I guess they'll still hit the FAR.
What's that?
I guess they'll still meet the FAR.
Yeah, and lot coverage and
it's
all
fairly,
those other things.
It's fairly it is fairly yeah. inconsequential, frankly. So
the only question I had was, is there a protocol or mechanism for emergency access?
It'll be the same right now, where there's notification involved, and I forget how. Let me just find out. Just confirm. Talked about it.
Put this mic down. Just walk over there and whisper.
So it would change nothing as the protocol is now, where there's a call in and the gate's opened.
And there's not somebody there.
And the property is manned 24/7. And it wouldn't change the protocol. Actually, it would be a little better because of the technologies improved of the protocol, the emergency services used today, whether it's police, fire, or EMS, into the site. It would just be newer technology.
Do you have any more?
We have no questions.
No questions. Anyone else have any questions? I don't see anybody from the public except for the applicant here.
I think they're with us, right?
What does the board feel?
I'm ready for a motion if you are.
Yeah. I think it's pretty straightforward.
It is. Common sense approach.
Yeah, this makes complete sense. Okay.
You know what? Hold on 1 second. Out of an abundance of caution, especially since we have a 7-member board, so 4 still gives us a
majority.
Did you participate in the initial application?
Not for the expansion. No, I did not.
Right. So just recuse
yourself. Oh, okay. All right. I'll go back to the my little place back there.
I'll make the motion to approve this.
To grant the site plan waiver under number one.
Correct. Under number one.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Pepper. Roll call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. Pepper?
Yes.
And Mr. Sine?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Ask one question. They're kind of anxious to do this.
Do you want us to direct
We can direct.
You're going to direct the secretary to ask.
To ask
the zoning officer and the construction code official to act as if they already have the resolution. They're going to do everything else they would normally do, but they're going to not pretend that they have the resolution, but they're going to act as if they have the resolution.
So move.
Correct.
You guys want
to? We just have to, long as we're okay.
Everyone okay?
Everybody
okay?
Yes, please.
Then that's
okay.
Writing it down.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
We have the.
If you have a knife, if you can cut them off the boards. Can you cut them off the boards and fold them?
Yeah.
That would be great.
Next up is the vouchers. They were distributed. I have reviewed them. If anybody has any questions or comments, now would be the appropriate time. Okay, thank you. So I would, I'll make the motion to approve them if there's a second.
I will second.
Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. Pepper?
Yes.
And Mr. Sinai?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Good. We're up to some reports, if any. Council.
Council. We had a pretty quiet council meeting. We did not have a quorum for a budget approval, but we opened the public hearing and attempted to take comments. There were no members of the public interested in making comments. So in order to provide all 5 members of the council an opportunity to vote on the budget, we have a special meeting coming up Thursday at 8:30, and the only action I expect at that moment is to call the vote and be done with it. We also had, as you may recall, we changed positions since then, but the Hyonas property has bubbled up again, and the truck traffic has annoyed at least some of the neighbors on Muirfield and Glen Eagles. So we listened to, about an hour and a half worth of discussion and agreed that Councilman Tom and I would sit with Jesse and the Hyonises and talk about what we could do to further mitigate the impact of truck traffic on the community and also investigate where the citizens were. They had, if you remember the circumstances, Hyonas was approved as a commercial farm. We had the Ag Board for the first time ever refer the commercial farm back to the Planning Board for limited site plan approval, a very limited site plan approval. And the neighbors then after that carried on with an appeal to SADC, which is not progressed in about 3 years. So I have a packet of information that I agreed to read that they sent over, and we'll see if there's any advice or non-costly assistance we can give them in the pursuit of that application or that appeal. So I anticipate we'll have another chat with the neighbors 2-3 weeks out.
Is that typical for the SADC just not to respond for 3 years?
Well, they had hired an attorney, and I think it's yet to be discovered whether SADC is sitting on it
or
just decided not to continue to spend money.
Right.
Because in my opinion, and I've been taken to task for saying this at council and on a certain Facebook page, the odds of succeeding in an appeal in this matter after the several million dollars have been spent on greenhouses are basically slim to none. So we'll find out the facts and do what we can to quiet things down.
Was the primary complaint just the existence of the truck traffic or the parking overnight thing that I've heard people
There was one vehicle parked overnight that has bubbled up after 6 years worth of truck access. So sometimes, you know, straw that breaks the camel's back, you lance a boil, whatever the aphorism is. Sometimes it takes something like that.
Mm-hmm. Under the bridge, over the dam.
No, this is like one little, you know how you're not an engineer, but if you have a glass of water that's cool below freezing and you go like that.
Right.
So anyways, it sort of got the neighbors upset. And we listened to a shouting match between the neighbors and the truck driver, but we didn't make the comment that the reason why things started was the neighbor blocked the road so the truck couldn't proceed forward, and it was the neighbor that...
Was this at the council meeting?
Yeah.
And the truck driver
The truck driver came to the town?
Oh, no.
They played...
They had a report, okay.
Yeah, it's a recording. So, clearly, you know, it was the neighbor, not the truck driver. So it's just one of those situations that will fester from time to time. You grow mums in the fall. You grow ornamentals in the spring. Truck traffic is at a peak in both of those seasons. So we'll see what we can do.
We tried. We went to the Ag Board. We've done everything in the past that, you know, I know.
Yeah.
But I think the best approach is trying to meet with the owners and see if, and some of the neighbors, and see if you can get some.
We had a visit with the owners and we had a discussion. We're going to have another discussion with Councilman Kochanowski there probably next week or the week after, and then we'll see if we can get a small number of neighbors together and talk about,
right,
you know, helping a little bit at least.
Yep.
Maybe they can use smaller trucks than bigger trucks.
Did those roads ever have to get repaved or no?
We did a very light skim coat on them. The road had broken up. This development was built in 1971. There's no rock underneath there, mud. And it has city water. So I'll go quick.
No. You can go.
Had some city water, and just to make things quiet, we put a light coat on it. We have surveys and plans to rebuild the pathway into county road specifications. That's ready to go, pending the replacement of the water mains on Blossom Hill in that entire neighborhood, which may happen this summer. Clinton Town has applied for financing out of Trenton. As soon as they get that, it's kind of a cooperative effort. They'll install the mains. We'll help watch the process. And once the mains are in, we'll patch and repay. We'll patch it, let it settle for a winter, and then, you know, do the full rebuild, repave job on there.
So I'm just curious, what is a full repave job? What's specification?
Well, you excavate. In that case, it's a rebuilding, so you excavate the mud.
And you have to put in
sub base,
and then base, and then the asphalt.
Yeah.
So you have to have like 4 inches, 4 inches, and 2.
And it's a county spec because, right, they, you know.
Do the neighbors have any idea that that's what they're going to get?
They don't care. They don't. They didn't care about repaving their streets. Kids are, now my kids can go out there and play on skateboards, which makes it really dangerous.
I don't think the issue is the road breaking up or any of that. It's that they don't want the trucks, and I get that. I've got that all along. This is a problem with these mixed zoning and with farmland and the right to farm, and we've pushed it, but there's all we can do. And your point of what it is, I think it all comes down to they just don't want trucks.
Right.
Some neighbors there will never be happy if there's a truck going in once a year, and you're just going to have to appeal to some group of those neighbors and the owners to be a little more accommodative in this.
Gestures and language.
What's the speed limit on the road?
They drive at about 15 miles an hour, so you can't go slow.
Doesn't really matter. Okay.
Just as an FYI, when the planning board back then was really smart, in 1971, when it was approved, they noted that that one road is a cul-de-sac, and they should there should not be a commercial farm at the end of the cul-de-sac. And made mention of commercial greenhouses. Subsequent to that, the township ordinances were amended and are still in effect that ban commercial greenhouses in residential neighborhoods. It's right to farm. Who's got the superior jurisdiction? So it was seen as a problem, a potential problem.
Something was done about it, but an overarching...
The overarching right to farm, and we pushed it as a town. We tried, but and there's no... Yeah, no appreciation for that. I understand the frustration, but you know what?
Trishka spent more than a few nights down there. I spent more than a few nights down there and talked them into sending Hyannis.
It's the result. The process doesn't matter. I get it.
Yeah. Right.
It's the results. If not the results, it doesn't matter what you attempted or what you tried. Okay.
We'll see what you can do. If you can get them the owners, or the farmers, and some of the neighbors, and try to get some better rules.
Right now it's quiet. All their ornamentals pretty much are out, so there's not much traffic.
Okay.
Is there like a time, or is it like literally all day from like sun up to sundown?
They, as part of this planning board's resolution, they're required to inform their suppliers that the following hours are when they should deliver. So we may... They're agreeable to the morning hours are no problem with school buses. The afternoon is where the trucks and buses overlap, so I think the owners are amenable to instructing the truckers to come a little bit sooner. And in terms of truck parking, we can either ban commercial traffic there. We can't, as you probably know, we can't ban trucks over X number of tons, even though they are banned in there.
Right, local delivery.
The local delivery. Yep. So that part, we can't fix that, but we can fix the requested hours of operation. We can also put a Knox box on their fence post, and if there's a truck parked out there, call the police, open the gate, tell the guy to go in. So there's things like that we can do to take some of the tension out. But, the trucks will keep coming.
I think like anything, if there are dozens of trucks, one or two are going to do something silly. Yeah. They're going to come early. They're going to, and then it's going to get everybody inflamed, and that's rightfully so. But one bad apple.
Yeah. Well, they complained about the truck that was parked. The police responded. There's no parking regulations, so the police left. Mm-hmm. It wasn't idling or anything. There was nothing illegal about the behavior. So.
Right.
It's another one of those things you've been through more than a few times.
Anything else? How about ordinance subcommittee? Nothing, I don't think. Open space?
Not too much. Rich Shaw is a very active open space chair. We had a nice going away party for Kathy Seif. We did that function for 22 years over at Riley and Jake's. We gave her a commendation at the council meeting, took some photos. And we are talking with Reddington on items of mutual interest and rather than picking up more or less random pieces of land, begin to think about preserved land as pathways for enabling kayaking on the river, connecting trails. Morris County's done a sterling job of this. And, Reddington has also done a very, very good job thinking that way in their town. So we're starting to talk with them. In fact, I think it's Wednesday we have to get together over at the Reddington Town Hall.
Is there a vacancy on that board now that Kathy is?
There's a which?
Is there a vacancy on that board now that...
No. Rich Shaw took her place.
Okay. Basically.
Okay. Environmental. I don't think there's anything like that. Anything else? Next meeting is what is on? Do you know? Just a little look ahead at this point?
Yeah.
Well, that meeting is, I'm not sure because I haven't done the notices
yet. Right.
Yeah, we're doing a switch. So there is not going to be a meeting on the 18th this month. There is going to be a meeting on the 25th. We're switching with the Board of Adjustment. And
on the 25th, Katie's going to be here for me. Mm-hmm. And there will be things due on the 25th.
Yes.
mostly tied to the...
affordable housing.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, and we have, in the last week, gotten a handful of applications in as well.
Yeah, four applications came in last week.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Good. Okay. All right, then. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed or abstained? Good night.
Good night. This was nice.